testified that he is fully man and yet fully God. He says that he is the root of David. It is him that gave David life, who brought David into existence. He is the giver of all human life. And yet, this Jesus Christ, he testified himself that he is the offspring. He is the descendant of David. How could Jesus Christ be both the giver of David's life and yet he is the offspring of David? Except that he is the living and true God. He is the Christ. This is the greatest contention throughout human history. Who is the Christ? And this is a question that every man must settle in his own heart, because it is the difference between heaven and hell. This is the Christ who will save us from the eternal damnation of hellfire. Dear friends, you don't want to get anywhere near the lake of fire. The fire that burns eternally in hell is a place that we don't want to go. And God, by his great love toward us, has made a way of salvation through this Christ. And therefore, the knowledge of who Christ is the greatest knowledge that a man would ever arrive at, because it is the knowledge of true salvation, a heaven and hell difference. And so Jesus sat in the Spirit on the Lord's Day while John was on the island of Patmos in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The morning star stands out as the star that shines brightest when the night is darkest at dawn, just before daybreak. It was in the darkest moment in human history when God's people, the Jews, were facing God's impending judgment, when Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, the Savior of all mankind, was born as Scripture predicted in Bethlehem. And this declaration by Jesus Christ in this statement on the island of Patmos by John on the Lord's Day in AD 90 was given 20 years after the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. When Jesus gave the words that we have read for our text for today, it was 40 years before judgment came upon Israel for rejecting their Christ. The general Titus came and the Jews were scattered without a homeland for the next 1,858 years. We know this from history. And in 1948, they came back to the land. And 177 years, in 1967, before they would regain Jerusalem. Why did judgment come upon the Jews? Because they rejected the Christ. They were to be the people who knew who God is, because they were entrusted with the holy oracles of Scripture. They could not have missed the message. And because they rejected Jesus, their Christ, the only Savior of the world, Israel was judged a second time. Remember the first time, 70 years in Babylon. And then the witness was given to the church. And that's how we receive this message that Jesus, the man who was born in Nazareth or in Bethlehem and lived in Nazareth nearly 2,000 years ago, is the Christ. And this is the greatest contention today. And this is the greatest question that you would have to answer for yourself in your heart. This message comes in a moment in church history when we have not seen such great spiritual slumber and falling away in the Church of Jesus Christ. Before he would return to judge the world. And therefore, Jesus gave this invitation just before the close of the canon of Scripture in Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come." Who is the Bride? The Bride is all who believe in Jesus Christ, who are waiting for the Bridegroom to return, who are given that mandate to proclaim that message. And the message is that they may come. Let him that is athirst come. Come and receive this water of life. The water that you drink and you will not thirst again. This is the invitation that Jesus gave. That this gospel be preached to all the world. And when the last Gentile is come in, is received into salvation, then the judgment of God would begin upon the unbelieving who blatantly reject God and their Christ. And the church would be taken home to glory in heaven. Do you notice that recently in the news, there is a lot of talk about life from outer space? And if you were to monitor the news carefully, you'd realize that it's only in the last 2 months that all this is taking place. Telescope is being erected to view the skies. Well, if you think of it very carefully as a child of God, what is the event that is going to come, that is going to take place? The greatest prophecy that has not been fulfilled, it is the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the church. And what is the greatest excuse that you can give? Well, you know that Christ is going to return from the heavens, and the world would not be able to explain why suddenly countless men and women would disappear. Perhaps this is the world's explanation to the coming event before God would judge the world. Israel today, where the Jews were in the land and yet rejecting their Christ. And in America, the only Christian nation in the world who has also rejected Jesus Christ, throwing out the Christian prayer, the commandments from their courtrooms, and the Bible from their classrooms, and in the last few months, legalizing LGBT. Truly, judgment is nigh, as God did judge Sodom. And this is becoming a global phenomenon, the LGBT. And therefore, the judgment of the last day Sodom will be global. And except we are received in Jesus Christ, we will not be saved. And this was the message that Christ personally came to convince his people, the Jews, the religious leaders in Israel, as we have been studying in chapter 22, how they time and again questioned the Lord to dislodge the truth that he is the Christ. Remember, the Herodians posed the political question, should Jesus' followers pay taxes? And Jesus answered very clearly, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. The Jews neglected their devotion to their God. And the social question posed by the Sadducees concerning the matrimonial relationship in the resurrection. Remember, we just studied that 2 weeks ago. Jesus opened up heaven's gate to help them to behold man's eternal state in heaven when he said, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Matthew 22:33-30. And finally, we saw last week the ethical question concerning the sum of the commandments of God. And what did Jesus say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our text in verse 41 gives to us the setting for today's message. While the Pharisees gathered together, instead of hearing another question from them, Jesus would now pose them the most theological question that would help them to affirm from the scriptures that indeed he is the Christ. And we too must know for certain who this Savior is. This is the Christ, the eternal Son of God, when he posed the question in verse 42 of our text. What think ye of Christ? It is the most important question that we in the church must answer. What think ye of Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Well, may I submit to you two thoughts from our text. Jesus Christ is fully man, verse 41 to 42, and Jesus Christ is eternally God, verse 43 to 45. If Jesus is not God, then we are still in our sins. His sacrifice on the cross would have been futile to save us from the curse of sin, and that is eternal judgment in hellfire. This is the question that we must all answer. And this is the question that we must ask to the people around us. Is there a life after this life? Indeed, there is. And this life that we have is short compared with the life in eternity. And therefore, we must get this question answered. And Jesus posed this question in order to answer it himself. He is going to lead them to understand that indeed he is the Christ. He is the only mediator between man and God because he is the God-man. As man, he represented men before God. And as God, he represented God before men. He is the bridge, the way in which we can be reconciled, the only way we can be reconciled to God. It is through the eternal Son of God. And that is why we must know who Christ is. And so the Pharisees were very quick to give the answer. They said, He is the Son of David. You see, the Jews do not believe that Jesus was the Christ. They were still waiting for their Messiah. And so here you see Jesus did not ask them, Who am I? But He said to them, Identify for me the Christ. How do you identify Him when He appears? So He's leading them so that they would receive fullness of understanding to know this Christ. Whose son is He? And indeed, they answered correctly that the Messiah would be a descendant of David. Scripturally, they understood this. Isaiah chapter 11, the passage that speaks about the Christ, says this in verse 1, And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Who is Jesse? Jesse is David's father. Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This branch is to be traced to that Jesus. Right? The Lord is leading them to see that this is the Christ that Matthew has mentioned. Right? If Matthew traced him back to Abraham, to the promised seed, the Messiah would come through his loins, the son of Abraham and the son of David. You see, when the Lord gave these words in Isaiah chapter 11, He was speaking concerning not His first coming, but His second coming, when He would come and rule in Jerusalem, fulfilling Daniel's prophecy that He would be king in Israel for 1,000 years. But when He gave this prophecy, what did He tell them? He tells them that this Messiah is of the lineage of David. Through Jesse, He speaks to them, informing them of the humanity of this Christ, that He is fully man. He is of the lineage of David. Why is this information so significant? Because God had promised to David that through his descendants, the kingdom of Israel would be forever. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 13. And when thy days be fulfilled, the Lord said to David, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. And so the Jews did know from Scripture that Christ is going to descend from David, and God has promised them a king who is fully man, who would realize this prophecy. But in order for this prophecy to be fulfilled, he must also be fully God. And Jesus would explain to them and lead them to this truth. And this is our second thought from verses 43 to 46. Jesus is eternally God, an affirmation of his deity. Verse 43, Jesus said, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Jesus is going to prove to them that this Messiah is not just from a human lineage, but he is God himself. And he proved it by quoting Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord. The first use of this word Lord, you notice in the Bible, is in the capital. And this is the covenant name of God, referring to God the Father. And the second, the Lord, L-O-R-D, in the lowercase, refers to the Messiah. So David spoke of that Messiah as his Lord in the lowercase. And he says that this Messiah is going to sit at the right hand of the Father. What does it mean? It means that he is going to hold equal power and authority as God. For he is God. Well, did not the Bible tell us after Jesus was ascended to heaven that he was at the right hand of the Father interceding for the believers that he may save them all to the uttermost? What was Jesus leading the Jews to understand? That he is the God. He is the Lord. And indeed, a day is coming when this Jesus Christ will appear from heaven. And Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. A time of judgment is going to come when our Lord would return. And by the divine guidance of the Holy Spirit, David in spirit called him Lord. Understood by the inspiration of God, by the illumination of God, that this Messiah that would come after him would hold the throne of David for all eternity. And so Jesus now posed this question to the Pharisees. If Christ then calls him Lord, how is he his son? Well, the answer is that the Messiah is both David's Lord and David's son. He is both God and man. As God, he is David's Lord. And as man, he is David's son. Had the Pharisees only had be teachable, they would have realized that standing before him is the Messiah, the son of David, through the line of Mary, the Son of God that is revealed in the Old Testament scriptures, is fulfilled before their very eyes. Remember when we had our first sermon in the study of Matthew's Gospel, we studied the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And what did we say? That Jesus is the Jewish seed, verse 1 to 5. He is the royal seed, verse 6 to 11. And he is the woman's seed, verse 12 to 17. Why is this significant? Because the seed that would come through the loins of Mary would be that Messiah. You see, there is an intriguing problem that the Jews needed to understand. Because when Jehoiachin, the last legitimate king of the Davidic line, was deported to Babylon, God cursed his descendants for their disobedience toward him in going after other gods. Jeremiah 22 verse 30 says, thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. The curse was pronounced upon the seed of Jehoiachin, the last king in Judah. And never again, indeed, will any of his descendants sit upon the throne prospering. And so, when Zerubbabel came back with Joshua, leading 50,000 to come back to Israel after 70 years of captivity, he was not king, though he was the direct line of Jehoiachin. How could the Jews from the Babylonian captivity to the intertestament time, these 600 years, avert the curse of Jeremiah uttered upon Jehoiachin to Jeconiah in Jeremiah 22 of his prophecy? How could the Jews understand this hope of the Messiah? How is God's promise going to be fulfilled when the curse is being made on the Davidic line? Well, God bypassed this cursed line and ended up, if you look at Matthew's genealogy, in Joseph, and brought about Jesus through another son of David, Nathan, all the way to Mary's biological line. So that in Jesus Christ is a combination of his legal line through Joseph, who had the legal right, but adopting a son who was not another man's son, but was of the offspring of the Virgin Mary, the seed of the woman, without sin. And this is the proof of his deity, that he was not man, born of the seed of man, but the seed of a woman. He is indeed the Christ. And that's why, you know, in the genealogy of Matthew, it is given to us that Jesus came from Mary. And the genealogy, if you were to read the text in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, is in the feminine. Not through Joseph, but through Mary. And therefore, and if you were to look the genealogy in Luke's gospel, you would also find that descendant through Mary is traced all the way back to Adam, the Son of God. What are we arriving at here? Well, the Lord wants us to understand, wants us to see what he is accomplishing here through the man Jesus Christ, that he is not just a man from the lineage of David, but he is also fully God, the seed of the woman through Mary. And this prophecy of Psalm 110 verse 1 is a fulfillment of what Christ would do after he was ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. And in the book of Hebrews, it is described for us, fulfilled. You would see this in your weekly article that gives you the details. And so the Lord solved this problem of the curse, that a king indeed will come out of the loins of David, who would be sitting upon the throne of David, who is not cursed, and who would have his kingship last forever. This is the law. This is the Christ that the Jews would need to understand. And this is the message that buffered the Jews in Israel. But if they would have searched the scripture carefully, the Spirit of God will lead them to identify and to acknowledge that this is the Christ. And they would have averted the judgment that would come upon them. And this is the message that was given to the religious leaders of Israel. Jesus is fully God and he is fully man. Very God and very man, 100% God and 100% man, to qualify him as our mediator. This is a truth that God wants all of us to learn, to know, to acknowledge that this is that Christ. But you would see that Israel would not acknowledge that Christ. Israel would reject him. And because Israel rejected him, and therefore you would see that the next thing they would do is that they would turn violent. Jesus would not talk to them anymore. They would not want to discuss any more theology with our Lord, because the Lord has given to them infallible proofs of his deity and his lordship. And they would just need to humble themselves and acknowledge it. But they would not. And so this is the Tuesday that would lead to the Friday where our Lord would be crucified. We are moving into momentous truths and events. How the heart of man is so blinded when all these truths and facts are presented to them, they would not accept. The Apostle John said this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 9 to 13. He says, "If we witness, we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater." Christ himself is speaking here. God himself is revealing to us. "For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." And this is the record that we are proclaiming to you. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And this is a truth that we want to present to you. Do you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Do you know this Christ of the Bible? If you do, then it is awaiting of glorification. But if you have not received him, then it is a sad awaiting of judgment. May the Lord open our spiritual eyes to receive him for his own mercy's sake. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for giving to us thy truth, that indeed this Jesus is the Christ, and that he is coming again, and this world is going to be crushed, made his footstool, who rebel and not accept him, who has come personally to bring them salvation, averting the wrath of God in hellfire and in judgment upon planet Earth. O Lord, help us not to have a hardened heart, but help us to see the truth for what it is, and humble ourselves and repent of our sins and receive this Christ Jesus. O Lord, may thou save someone in our midst who has not received thy Son as Lord and Savior and have eternal life. May thou be merciful, O Lord. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.